and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If you will, open your Bibles to John, the 20th chapter. Jesus' crucifixion was a great occasion. But sometimes we think so much about the mangled body and we think about the pain and we think about the great and awesome sacrifice that it was, and we forget about the power that was proven in the resurrection. Now, as I emphasize the power of the resurrection, I am not taking anything from the crucifixion. It is something that we should believe in, and it's something that we should hold a great amount of respect for, because truly, it was an awesome task to go through the crucifixion without sinning. That in itself is something that should change our lives. But what would the crucifixion be if Jesus would not have raised from the dead? You see, those two thieves on either side, and just like thieves and criminals all throughout the ages of that time, died upon crosses. That was nothing great. That was nothing to brag of. Any criminal could go through what Jesus went through. Now, I'm sure he would sin, but any man could go through that. But yet the power was in the fact that on the third day, Jesus Christ raised from that grave. He was resurrected. I want to point out just a few scriptures. If you will, open with me to Romans, the first chapter. Now, I want us to look at two or three passages here before we go into our lesson in John. In Romans, the first chapter, read with me in verse 4. Speaking about Jesus being the seed of David according to the flesh, in verse 3, it begins 4 by saying, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." So the Roman writer Paul begins by saying the power that he is the Son of God is because he was able to be raised from the dead. Even though the crucifixion was a great thing, that's not what proved that he was the Son of God. What proved that he was the Son of God is that he was able to be revived or resurrected from that dead. Turn over a few passages to the 6th chapter, Romans the 6th chapter. Notice in verse 3 and 4, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, was baptized into His death? Now notice, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now I don't know about you, but I don't take much pride in the sins that I have committed. I'm not proud of the sins I have committed. And it's that point of sins being put to death that is equivalent to the crucifixion. It's going through the crucifixion that we put to death the old man of sin. But the part we should be really proud of is that we have been raised from that watery grave of baptism, and it's that power of resurrection that gives us a new life. So let us never forget the power that when Jesus died on the cross, He took the sins of the world, and that was great. But the power of Him being the Son of God is that He was able to raise from that dead. You see, Satan would have had something to glory of. Satan would have had something that would change our life if Jesus Christ would not have raised from the dead. You see, Jesus being resurrected gave us the assurance that nothing can overcome us. Now think about that. Nothing can overcome us. There's not one time we can find ourselves involved in sin and say, "Well, I didn't want to sin, and I did everything in my power not to sin, but at that particular time, Satan just used a force and he overwhelmed me, and it was beyond my powers. I was just overtaken, and I was forced to sin." It can't happen, because Jesus Christ won the ultimate victory when He overcame death. Death is the most powerful source of strength that Satan has, and Jesus overcame that. Today, you and I can overcome every temptation if we would stay with Jesus. You and I can overcome death itself if we stay with Jesus. So truly, the resurrection in John, the 20th chapter, is a great chapter to read over and over. and to remind ourselves when we become down, to remind ourselves when we feel like we can't go on, to remind ourselves when we feel like sin is overcoming our life. Read the 20th chapter with a victory sound, because death is overcome, Satan is overcome, and righteousness has won. As we look at the 20th chapter, we begin with a lady named Mary. Mary went to that tomb very early that morning. As a matter of fact, it was before daylight. And as she went to that tomb, she was going there to anoint His body. Now, we do not know really why they called her Mary Magdalene. Perhaps it was because there were several Marys in the life of Jesus at this time, and so they were trying to distinguish one from the other in the writings. And it's believed that maybe that's the name of the place which she came from. And so they referred to her by the name of the place so that they could distinguish which Mary was being spoken of. Even though we don't know exactly why she is called this, we do know some very beautiful things about Mary. We read in Luke the 8th chapter, in verses 1 through 3, this is where we're introduced to her. And this is where Jesus takes this woman that has seven demons within her, and He heals this woman. And from that day forward, it seems like she never had a weak time. Every time we read about her, from that day forward, when Jesus healed her of those demons and Jesus gave her a spiritual life to live and promised her the eternal life, from that day forward, she followed Him with much zeal. Truly, Mary is a woman that we should learn from. We notice also in the same reading that she provided many needs for Jesus. So perhaps she was wealthy. If she was not wealthy, she surely was not poor, because she was able to give much to Jesus that He truly needed. It's beautiful to have people in the church that can give to Jesus and to the work and to the church to carry needs forth. You know, it's a shame to hear people speak of people that have money with a negative attitude. How we in the church should be so glad that the Lord's people are blessed with finances. How would the Lord's work be carried on if there were not people that were blessed in this area? So Mary may have been one of those that was blessed a little more than others when it comes to her finances. And when we read of her in different passages in different Gospels, they refer to her as one that helped fill the needs of Jesus. She was able to help support Jesus. And truly, that's a great thing that a woman will use her sources like this to fulfill such a need. Also, when we look at the Matthew and in his book, we find that she was one of the ladies that went all the way to the end. Mary was one that stood there as they crucified Him. Mary was one that stood there as he hung there and died. Now let's think about this. Some of the apostles did not even do that. Some of the apostles didn't even make it all the way to the end and stay there. And here it becomes early this Monday morning, and she's the first one at the tomb. You see, from the time Jesus helped this lady, she was very dedicated to the Lord and to His work. It's a tremendous lesson that shines through in the dedication that those of the world have whenever they are given the truth. You know, it's even true today. When those that are lost in the sins of the world and they find the truth because someone has showed it to them, they always feel that gratitude to that person. Have you ever noticed that? Think about someone you know that has been converted, that really lived a wicked, sinful life. They always hold that person that showed them the gospel very dear in their heart. I know as we worked the last few years up north, there were several in that congregation. As a matter of fact, almost every one of them had been converted at middle age or older. And each one, as you got to know them, they would very often speak of who taught them the gospel. And they held that person very dear in their heart. And they always were showing the gratitude to that person. This is what Mary was experiencing. Jesus had healed her of the demons. And she wanted to continue to help support Jesus in His work. And she wanted to be there all the way to the end, to the cross to show her loyalty. And even after the cross, when he lay in his tomb, she went there that Monday morning wanting to show her loyalty by anointing him with these oils. Truly, we need to take the gospel to the lost. And we're going to find out that it makes our life better as well. We're going to find out that it gives us a boost of encouragement because we will see the joy that others experience as they come out of the world and into the light of Christ. Also, we see the appearance of Jesus to Mary as we read this 20th chapter. We see in verses 12 and 13, see there, and she saw two angels sitting in white, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," that is, which to say, "Master." How beautiful it is that when Jesus appeared to her, her reaction when she realized that it was Jesus. Now, as you can see, at first she did not realize it was Jesus. And at first she thought maybe he was just a gardener or someone who worked around the tomb or around the garden in which this tomb was located. But all he said was her name, Mary. And she knew that was Jesus. And she must have turned to him with open arms. She must have embraced him. She must have grasped his arm or his hand. And maybe, whatever the custom was in that day, maybe she bowed to him as she held on. And for whatever reason, Jesus said, "Don't just hold on to me. Go and tell the others that I have been resurrected and that I will ascend." And he takes and he gives a very beautiful message for Mary to take to the other apostles. It's a very important message. As she turned to him, she said, "Master." If we translated that into our everyday language, it would be "teacher." Isn't it beautiful that when she thought of Jesus, she thought of him as the teacher? Who was it that taught her the truth? It was Jesus. Brethren, who is it that has taught you the truth? I'm sure you can think of someone that in your life here on earth has taught you the truth. But let's let every one of us be able to say also that because I've read the words of Jesus, He's taught me the truth as well. Every one of us should be able to think of Jesus as our teacher. We should be able to say personally, "I've read the Word and I have learned from the words of Jesus what the truth is." When we think of Jesus, would it be our first reaction to turn and say, "Teacher"? I hope that we think of Jesus as our teacher. Because He has taught us so much in the words. And as we've looked this morning in Bible class, that's why the words have been recorded. It's for us to learn. But what He told her to do was go and tell. This evening as we close, I want us to point out one powerful point for the next few moments. We can look in the Scriptures, and without doubt we can see that the Lord has roles for each of us. The Lord has a role for women to play. The Lord has a role for men to play. The Lord has a role for deacons, for elders. The Lord has a certain role that His Father, He plays in Jesus as the Son of God. He fulfilled a role. The Holy Spirit fulfills a role. But let us never look at the role of women and think that that is an insignificant role. Here, she played a very important part in Jesus' life at this time. She carried a message for Jesus. Now you know, a few months ago, we looked in depth on Wednesday night of the role of the women. And I think that we understand what the Bible says about that. But I think women for too long, and please take this as I mean it, I'm not jumping on anyone. We just need to think about this. For too long, women have hid behind the excuse. Women are not to teach men. And therefore, women have not taught the lost as often as they should. When we look in the Bible at the example that women in the Bible fulfilled, they taught the lost. We can look at Aquila and Priscilla, and what did she do? She was right there with her husband, pulling aside and teaching him a better way, a more perfect way. We can look at Deborah, and we can look at Phoebe, and we can look at all the other women in the Scriptures, and they taught. And when we look at Galatians 6:1, where it tells those that are strong to restore those that are weak, can we limit that to men and say, well, what Paul was meaning to say is only the strong men go out and restore everyone that has fallen? Brethren, as Christians, we have a right, either male or female, to encourage. We have a right to be a messenger for Jesus Christ. If we are taking the gospel, as long as we are not in a class situation or in a worship situation, we are not taking authority when we take the Word of God. You know, back some time ago, I was looking through Ira North's book over titles, Balance. Some of you are probably familiar with it. And as you know, he is respected as probably one of the wisest men in church work while he was alive. And the one thing that he points out in that book is how much women had to do with the growth at Madison. I'm sure you're familiar with Madison, the size congregation they are, and how they were not always large. They started out a very small congregation in Madison, Tennessee, and now they're several thousand. He contributed that to women, and I forget the exact percent, and right now I have the book loaned out, so I wasn't able to look up, but he gave what percent he thought women did in the work of the church. And it was more than men. And stop and think for a moment. When it comes to teaching Bible classes, usually any congregation has more female teachers than men. So that means more classroom time, more preparing time for the classes. And then, just for example, this past week, right here, just in preparing for our vacation Bible school, if we exclude the teenagers, more mothers of the teenagers and women have been down preparing. When we look at almost any field, One Nation Under God, we went out door knocking. It was almost all women. You see, women play a very important role in the church. As a matter of fact, I oftentimes believe that if a congregation has a strong women's class and a strong core of ladies, you can tell a difference in a congregation. This evening, let us think for just a few moments how powerful women can be in the work of the Lord. How we need, and I encourage you as young ladies and as ladies in general, don't grow discouraged and think that there's nothing for me to do in the work of the Lord. There's so much to do. And how we need to encourage the ladies and how we need to thank the Lord, because more than we think, they have been an encouragement to us as a congregation here, even at East Gaston. Truly, Mary played a very important role. Let me give you one personal illustration, and I give you a personal illustration for lack of a better. And really, it's not personal. I had nothing to do with it. I was only a few months old when this happened. While my parents were up north, my mother was, she had the two children, and so when Dad came in from work, once or twice a week she would leave us with him, and she would go out and do personal work. There was one couple that shared this story with me while we were up north. And this happened 20 some odd years ago, and this couple was the backbone in the congregation there that had kept the church alive over the years as they have struggled. And they would tell me about how it would be a Long Island snow. And they would think, surely that lady won't come. Now, she was only about the age I am now. I thought, surely she won't come tonight. It's just snowing too bad. Peck, peck, peck. and they'd have a Bible study. And he said, for almost or more than a year, he said, I was determined to prove your mother wrong with the Word. And he said, she'd come over and we'd study and I'd show her what I found and she would show me some other passage. And he said, all week I'd look and I'd try to find another passage. And he said, next Thursday night, here she come. And he said, you know, there were many in the congregation that tried to discourage your mother by saying, if they haven't obeyed in a year, they're not going to obey. Just leave them alone. He said, she wouldn't stop. He said, we would never be Christians today if it wasn't for her. Ladies are powerful. We need women in the church that are going to take the time to share the gospel of Christ. We never know how much influence we have as individuals, men or women. So let us never think that God intended for Bible study to be only a male thing to do. That Bible study is only for men. If it was, I don't think He would even give women a Bible. But the Word is for all of us. And we'll never find a place in the Bible where Bible study is to be excluded from some and only for others. That is why we have the verse, there's neither male or female. There's neither Jew or Greek. The Word is for everyone. And how we all should be willing to share it to a lost and dying nation. And how we all need to be willing to stand up for what we believe and show the world, if we're male or female, it doesn't matter. We're still Christians. This evening, how does your life compare to Mary's life? You know, this morning we looked at the life of Thomas and how we need to not be like Thomas, where we set conditions around us and say, well, when these are met, I'm going to obey. But we need to be like Mary, and we need to say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm in debt to You. There's no way I can ever repay You for everything You've done, so I'm just going to go with You all the way. If You go to the cross, I'm going with You. If You go to the tomb, I'm going with You. And when You're resurrected, I'm going with You, Jesus. That's the attitude Mary had. She was willing to give of herself and of her income. This evening, which would you be most like? Would you be like Mary, or would you be more like Thomas? You know, even though Thomas made his mistakes, he corrected his life. Jesus finally said he was a believer. This evening, every one of us have the chance to say, I'm a believer. Even if this moment you have wrongs, you can correct those now. If you're not a child of God, become one tonight. Be a believer. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized to wash those sins away.